Laudator Jesus Christus. Vatican and World News.
In the headlines is Friday, August the 1st. Rome's Circus Maximus is transformed into an open-air confessional for thousands of young pilgrims. Bishops from across Africa gather in Rwanda to discuss their pastoral planning goals for the next quarter of a century. And we speak to a group of pilgrims from Syria who are in Rome for the Jubilee of Youth. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tullock. The approximately 1 million young people who have come from all corners of the world to Rome for the Jubilee of Youth this week have had the opportunity to take part in a penitential day ahead of the prayer vigil with Pope Leo XIV scheduled for this weekend. On Friday, the Circus Maximus, the ancient Roman arena, was transformed into an open-air confessional for thousands of young pilgrims to have the opportunity to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. As Kelsey Gussie tells us, there are more than 1,000 priests hearing confession in 10 different languages.
From 10:30 this morning to 6 this evening, 200 confession stations have been made available in the Circus Maximus, staffed by some 1,000 priests and confessors. There are 10 languages available throughout the day, including Italian, Spanish, English, French, Portuguese, and Polish all throughout the day, and German, Hungarian, Slovak, Korean, and Chinese at designated times. To beat the Roman heat, bottled water is being distributed as people wait for their turn in the makeshift confessionals. The 200 gazebos are peacefully swarmed. Tickets with little flags indicate the priest's language skills, and inside, some equipped with portable fans, the priests await the youth. For two teens from Houston, Texas, Matthew and Gonzalo, they see this day of penitence as a gift from God's mercy, giving them every day the chance to live better than the day before. Gonzalo explained that while the hundreds of thousands of pilgrims don't all know each other, they are all here for the same reason. God, who he describes, is the hope they've found in Rome, but that they must take with them everywhere, especially when they return home. During the Day of Penitence, 20 volunteers from the UCAT Foundation will distribute 10,000 copies of the UCAT book on confession. This special edition, published for the Jubilee of Youth, is available in 4 languages: Italian, English, French, and German. First published in 2014 and updated for this Jubilee year, the book aims to provide young people with an accessible introduction to the Sacrament of Reconciliation. The new edition includes an examination of conscience, explanations of the meaning of confession, and some helpful prayers. I'm Kelsey Gussie.
Some of the young people in Rome for the Jubilee have literally travelled across the globe to get here. One of them is Latu Malupo from Tonga, one of Polynesia's 170 South Pacific islands. Speaking to Vatican Radio, she explained that there are 3 people from her diocese of Tonga. She said that they had organised themselves individually as it was a challenge to coordinate funding and logistics, but they are now here knowing that when they return home, they will be able to lead young people in a more spiritual way.
Firstly, it's my first time to be coming to a different country. Italy is very rich in culture, very rich in Christianity, especially in Roman Catholic, the church. First and foremost, I just want to experience how strong our faith can be from our little country to where it all came from. That would be very wonderful. I just want to experience that with the many other youth that are coming into Rome for the Jubilee. And maybe I can inspire some other people. They can come visit Rome when they can. Or maybe I can lead the youth in a more spiritual way, that our faith is not just based here in our country. Our faith is abroad. Our faith is universal. Maybe I can inspire them to be more a Catholic crowd of our faith. Me and my fellow pilgrimage are very excited. We're going to be bringing part of our culture. We are very excited to learn more about the other countries and their culture, and maybe we can make something very beautiful out of it. We can share our experiences, how we pray. I'm very proud to be a Catholic person here in our country because we're really small and everyone knows everyone. Our faith very differentizes us. It's the hope within us that's going to take us to the end of our pilgrim. It's the hope that I'm traveling with, that I'm pilgriming with, that I want to keep just so that I can reach everything else.
That was Lato Malupo from Tonga, one of the pilgrims here in Rome for the Jubilee of Youth, speaking there to Vatican Radio's Isabella de Carvalho. Now, there are also a number of pilgrims from Syria in Rome right now. Franciscan brother George Jarouf of the Custody of the Holy Land is accompanying the nation's young people who are present in Rome and also bringing those who have been constrained to stay at home in a spiritual way with him. Deborah Castellano-Lopov tells us more.
Young people representing Syria at the Jubilee of Youth are now refugees in Europe along with their families due to the civil war that erupted in 2011. They now live in Germany, France, Belgium, and Sweden. On a hot Roman afternoon, they found shelter in the shade of Palazzo Pio, home to the Vatican media offices, proudly waving the flag of their homeland. Brother George Jalouf, a Franciscan of the Custody of the Holy Land and assistant pastor of the Church of St. Francis of Assisi in Aleppo, is accompanying the group of young people who he calls children of the diaspora. Syrians, at this moment, he noted, cannot travel easily due to the complications with visas. Nonetheless, the friar personally took upon himself all the intentions of the local Christian community, sharing, "They asked me to light a candle for them and to carry them with me through the holy door." In fact, he did so. He took photos, sent messages, bearing witness that they too were there, even if from afar. Regardless, the reality in Syria remains difficult. In Aleppo, he says, the situation is relatively calm, but after the recent attacks in Damascus, fear, he notes, has returned to the hearts of the faithful. He says, we've had to increase security presence even during the masses. Men stand at the church doors to protect those coming in to pray. Despite everything, the Christian community continues to endure. About 1,200 faithful, but a living and active presence. He says that they have catechism classes from kindergarten all the way through high school, noting it is a grace, truly a daily miracle. When he returns to Syria, Brother George will bring with him the faces, words, and blessings of Rome, and also a certainty that the Lord is with us. Hope does not disappoint, and we are called to be that hope every day for those we encounter. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
And lastly, we've also been speaking to some young pilgrims from Austria. One of them told Vatican Radio, quote, "I'm just excited to see the Universal Church and so many young people from different countries coming together, looking to Jesus together, living for him and entrusting their lives to him." That was Samuel, 20, who's from Austria's second largest state of Styria. And we also spoke to Teresa, who's 18 and from Vienna, the nation's capital. They were speaking at an Austrian youth gathering during the Jubilee on the Aventine Hill in Rome. That was on Tuesday. And the pair expressed their joy at, they said, really feeling and experiencing the unity of the global church, feeling that we fully belong and that the church truly needs each one of us. "It's incredible," they said, "to walk this journey with my faithful friends and draw closer to Jesus and God, adoration, contemplation, and in the evening, just being able to say, why don't we pray together? They're just beautiful shared moments," they said. Now, we heard earlier from Deborah about the situation in Syria, as described by the pilgrims from Syria. And staying in the Middle East for a moment, let's take a look at the latest news from Gaza, where a number of Palestinians have been killed and scores injured while waiting for food supplies. The tragic reality of starvation and of the killing of starving Palestinians by Israeli forces as they gather for food has led the international community to apply pressure and has led to another diplomatic visit by the US President's envoy to the region. Linda Bordoni has the story.
France has started to airdrop 40 tons of humanitarian aid to Gaza as it urged Israel to allow full access to the area, which it said was slipping into famine. Meanwhile, at least seven people queuing for aid were killed on Friday and dozens more were injured as hundreds of staff members working for EU institutions signed and delivered a letter addressed to European Union Commission President Ursula von der Leyen and to the EU's top diplomat Kaya Kallas, urging them to press Israel to let humanitarian aid into the enclave. According to the letter, more than 700 signatories ask for the opening of all land crossings for the delivery of essential goods and permitting humanitarian ships to dock. Israel, a statement reads, cannot be allowed to show disdain for yet another agreement and further disrespect for the European Union. It was referring to an understanding that the EU had already reached with Israel in mid-July to improve the situation on the ground. Meanwhile, US President Donald Trump reportedly said he's working on a plan to get people fed in Gaza, while his Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, is on the ground, allegedly to take stock of the situation and kickstart talks. But 22 months into the war, Gaza is still witnessing military escalation and a deepening humanitarian crisis that has been politicized and militarized, and Palestinians who are continuing to die from hunger, disease and bombings are reportedly expecting little from the US negotiator's visit. I'm Linda Bordoni.
SECAM, the Symposium of Episcopal Conferences of Africa and Madagascar, has officially opened its 20th plenary assembly in Kigali, Rwanda. The event brings together not only bishops from all over the continent, but also the Rwandan Prime Minister and representatives from the Church on other continents, including Asia, Latin America, North America and Europe. Vatican Radio's Father Paul Samasuno is in Kigali in attendance at the assembly, and he tells us more.
Africa's Catholic bishops are gathered here in Kigali, Rwanda, for the 20th Second Plenary Assembly under the theme Christ, Source of Hope, Reconciliation and Peace. Over 250 bishops from across the African continent are attending the Second Plenary to plan for and reaffirm their pastoral mission as shepherds of the Church in Africa. The bishops are exploring a pastoral vision of the Church Family of God in Africa, not just for now, but for the Church of the next 25 years. Day one of the plenary assembly featured an opening mass celebrated by Cardinal Peter Turkson, and later in the plenary sessions, speeches emphasizing unity, collaboration in facing Africa's challenges were heard. Rwanda's Prime Minister, Dr. Justin Sengyumva, also addressed the SECAM bishops. He urged the bishops in Africa to consolidate their role in ethical leadership and in peace building. Calls for peace were also echoed by SECAM President Cardinal Fridolin Ambongo in his official opening address. Cardinal Ambongo said, ultimately, true peace can only come from Jesus Christ. Rwanda's Apostolic Nuncio, Archbishop Arnaldo Sanchez, and other speakers similarly spoke on the theme of peace and reconciliation in Africa. Cardinal Michael Cheney, the prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, offered suggestions to the bishops on how the Church in Africa can best collaborate with his dicastery. Bishops from various continental episcopal conferences attending the second plenary expressed solidarity with Africa. The conference has now entered day two and is expected to conclude this coming Sunday. From Kigali, Rwanda, for Vatican News, I'm Father Paul Samasumo.
And in one last bit of news from Rwanda, the country yesterday, together with the Democratic Republic of Congo, held the first meeting of a joint oversight committee, taking a step toward implementing a peace deal that was agreed last month in Washington. The deal in June between Rwanda and Congo marked a breakthrough in talks held by US President Donald Trump's administration, which aims to bring an end to a conflict that has so far killed thousands. That's all we've got time for on this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, you can visit our website at vaticannews.va. You can also get the latest updates on our Facebook, X and Instagram pages. Just search Vatican News. Many thanks go to Bruno Orti in the studio. In the Vatican, I'm Joseph Tulloch. Goodbye.